podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Likewise, all advice given is meant for entertainment and not to be taken seriously or utilized in any way. After all, one of the hosts isn't even a real person. Are you serious right now?
I give really good advice, really good advice. I give really good advice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hit it, Kirsten.
No. Hey, y'all. I'm Kirsten Rezka, mom of two sweet girls.
And I'm Blandy Cobbles, a 28-year-old female human being who doesn't have any human children. I have more ferrets than the health department needs to know about, but I myself am 100% not a ferret, as much as I wish I could change that.
And this is our podcast, Really Good Advice for New Moms, where we're dishing and riffing on everything motherhood.
Yeah!
Last episode, we talked about an all-too-common phenomenon. It's all peaches and cream until the baby arrives, and then suddenly, you kind of hate your partner.
I don't think that would ever happen to me, because I have a very warm and welcoming heart.
So do I, Blandy. But, like we discussed in that last episode, when you're learning how to be a new parent, there's some definite triggers that come into play that you may not realize are contributing to confusing and negative feelings towards your partner.
Right? Yeah. Drinking Kool-Aid without adding water to it is the first one. Correct me if I'm wrong. Second is reading conspiracy theories about the sun. And last is watching the premiere episode of Gossip Girl on mute 4 times in a row, just so you can analyze whether or not penis baggy sideburns are even.
No. And Penn Badgley.
Come again?
His name is Penn Badgley.
Penn Bagdilly.
No.
Dan Humphrey.
No. Penn Badgley.
Joe Goldberg.
No. No, now you're just listing his characters. Stop. Stop and listen.
Okay. Blake Lively.
Penn Badge. Lee.
You gotta stop, because this is starting to turn me on.
Okay, alright, and we're back. Let's dig into it. The three things that can really affect our mood when we have a new baby are a lack of sleep, a lack of nutrition, and a lack of intimacy. I want to point out that even if you don't have a partner, these triggers are still bound to affect you and affect your relationships. So if you're listening and you don't have a significant other, this is still totally relevant to you and the feelings you may be having towards the people you're closest with, including your baby and yourself.
Or your ferrets. Let's be inclusive here.
Right on. Today, we're troubleshooting those triggers with advice for how to remedy each one. It doesn't mean you're not going to get annoyed or have arguments or whatever, but by acknowledging and then addressing these things, you're taking better care of yourself, which means you can take better care of your baby and your relationship or, you know, the relationships you have around you.
Kirsten, m'lady, if you do me the honor of allowing me a moment to pull this list out of my pants before we get started, that would be so great.
Oh, sure. You've got some ideas, Blandy?
I've got some really good advice, and I need you to stand back. Okay. Yeah. Regarding a lack of sleep, here we go. Now, first off, Kirsten, if it sounds like I'm reading, that's because I am. You know, I can read. I can read real good. I can't write that good, though, so I might, you know, stumble a little trying to decipher my own handwriting here.
That's okay, Blandy.
Great. Here we go. All right. So, if you're struggling to get enough sleep when you have a new baby, you need to ask yourself, why am I letting this baby keep me awake?
That's generally not a choice.
Kirsten, please, don't interrupt me. Everything's a choice. For instance, today, I made the choice to wear black socks with my Crocs, and you made the choice to interrupt me.
Okay. So how do you think someone should go about not being kept awake by their baby?
Easy. Give the baby a solid distraction.
Oh, yeah. Like those crib soothers. My kids loved those.
No. I mean something where their brains are really engaged. Yeah, personally, I'd prefer putting on a small fireworks display outside their bedroom window.
But you would have to wake up for that, among other issues.
Don't undermine me. It's not very becoming of you.
What if a new parent doesn't have access to fireworks? Or, like me, lives in a place where fireworks aren't allowed except on holidays?
Sure. Yeah. Alright. Another thing you could do to distract your baby, if you do not have access to fireworks, is to hire a musician to play some top 40 hits from the hours of 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Ask them to do it loud enough to drown out the sound of your baby sleeping.
Wait, okay. The sound of your baby not sleeping.
Yeah. Sorry. I tripped over my I told you my handwriting is like...
Why wouldn't you just turn on the radio?
Because a baby can't handle commercial breaks. Find a discounted musician. I'm thinking Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 should be a sure deal. If not, there's also Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind fame. He dated that girl who sung that song, and I was like, I'm walking my way through town, walking fast, laces last, and I'll slow down.
That's not it.
You could just ask him to change his lyrics about crystal meth to something about homemade Play-Doh. You know, to adapt it to be child-friendly.
Yeah, that should work. I was gonna suggest cutting back on responsibilities and resting as much as possible, but it sounds like you've got it solved here, Blandy.
Anyway, that solves your sleep issues, but what about a healthy meal?
As far as meals, sometimes there just isn't time for a full meal, but there's always time for a healthy snack. Keeping a bag of almonds and a box of-
Sorry, Kirsten, that was rhetorical. I wasn't asking you.
Oh, okay, carry on.
No, it sounds like you had a good idea going. I'm sorry, I'm being selfish. I'm just so excited about the stuff I've learned about being a new mom from judging actual moms that I want to share my knowledge.
I was just going to say, stick healthy snacks where you know you're going to be spending a lot of time.
Like the bathroom.
I was thinking more like your nightstand, if you rock your baby a lot, maybe in a basket next to your glider, in your diaper bag, shelf-stable, high-protein, healthy snacks like jerky, unsalted mixed nuts, veggie crisps, low-fat pudding cups, and snack bars with no sugar added are all great for staying full and level while making wise food choices. This isn't the time to be a kitchen hero, so buy fruits and vegetables that don't need to be cut up to eat. Baby carrots, blueberries, and bananas are all great choices.
Yeah. Those are all choices you can make. But another choice you can make is something like my mom's homemade high-protein meatloaf, which has landed her over 4 fiancés in her lifetime. It's real simple. Okay. You just get a can of Spam. Throw that in a blender. You with me, Kirsten?
Yeah.
Fill the can with warm water. Pour that in.
Okay.
You're almost done now. So easy and good. Dump the crumbs from the bottom of a Triscuit box into there. Stir it up real good. And all you have left is a couple cups of Jell-O.
Any particular flavor?
I just, whatever's on sale. Orange is fine. It's good for the color. Blend that all up. Then stick it in the oven for about 5 to 6 hours to get it all slow roasted, and yeah, you're good to go.
And you ate that growing up?
No. No, I would never do that, but I appreciate that my mom put that effort in, and she lost a lot of weight eating that, so I know it's probably pretty healthy.
That's another thing that I want to address. Eating less does not equate to being healthier, even if you're postpartum. If you've just had a baby, it's especially important to eat well, and that includes eating enough. You're not looking to count calories so much as you're looking to make your calories count. Even if you haven't given birth to your new baby, it's still important to stay hydrated, keep your blood sugar level, and your stomach satisfied, because you need that energy to care for a new baby.
Yeah. I mean, mom's second fiancé, Quaid, lost so much weight eating her homemade meatloaf that the hospital suggested he press charges.
Our last strategy covers a lack of intimacy.
This is too personal for me.
Why is that?
Because I lack an immense amount of intimacy. I don't have a sexual partner. I can only make love to someone who I suspect is my soulmate.
It doesn't have to be confirmed.
No. Lovemaking is like the final confirmation.
Oh. Okay. Did you just fart?
Don't judge me. I see it with your ponytail, Kirsten. I can get a ponytail too, it's just that it attracts hummingbirds and that gets really complicated.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, it also sounds like you're unable to enjoy sexual satisfaction and intimacy with another person unless you feel that everything between you and your partner is perfect.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and also, I'll add, there needs to be a significant amount of new car scent air freshener around.
I think that unrealistic expectations can get in the way of a fulfilling sex life post-baby. Recognizing that your relationship doesn't have to be completely perfect, the house doesn't need to get cleaned first, and you can sort out who's grabbing dinner afterward, means you make space and time for intimacy where you might not have it if you were set on checking all these boxes beforehand.
Sure.
And for those like you, Blandy, who may be going it solo, intimacy with others happens in other ways, and the barrier may also be unrealistic expectations, especially for yourself. You don't have to do your hair to ask your best friend if she wants to come by to watch a movie while the baby naps. Quality time with your friends is more important than looking the part you did before you became a mom.
Nah, I don't know. I don't really think I'd enjoy a movie with you.
What?
If we're saying you're my best friend here, which it kind of sounds like we are, what would we even watch? Or, you know, Rambo? No, that's too much blood. I don't like it. Braveheart? No. Because I can't watch anything with Mel Gibson in it without donating to a positive social cause as punishment to myself for supporting a Mel Gibson film. And I can't afford that right now. My salary of nothing. Maybe the 2011 Disney sleeper hit Spooky Buddies.
Never heard of it.
It's the heartwarming, if slightly pretentious, story of a group of golden retriever puppies who never age throughout the entire Buddies saga. These dogs are out to solve the mysterious happenings in their otherwise low-key town. I want you to think Stranger Things, but without David Harbour and all of the pants he wears, which is the only thing I actually see when I'm watching Stranger Things. Yeah, it gets a little dark. I would need someone to hold my hand.
I don't think...
No, you're right. Because my mom told me I have to be to bed by 9 every night because I'm always clinking around and keeping her up, and I know a movie like Spooky Buddies would honestly have me up all night in terror.
I don't think we're going to be able to watch a movie together, Blandy, but I like your thinking.
I thought you just said you didn't want to watch a movie.
On the bedtime. I better take my own advice and get some good sleep tonight, and I hope you and our listeners do too.
I'm actually not sure if I will, because I just started thinking about those scenes where the pups think they're being haunted, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, only David Harbour could redeem this now.
And maybe one day he can redeem our show.
Penis bag!
I can't say that without laughing. Oh gosh.